We have Jeannie Hopper.
Yes.
We have Jay Smooth here in studio. I want to thank you both for coming. We really wanted to take the opportunity to make some space on WNYC here on The Takeaway to have you guys talk about what is going on at WBAI, your decisions. But I want to give a little bit of context. So for people who are just tuning into this, so Leonard Lopate used to work here at WNYC. He was fired earlier this year. Among the allegations included inappropriate workplace conduct, and we have more specific allegations that we can talk about. WBAI, which is a Pacifica station, picked him up recently, very recently. And since then, we've seen both of you leave the station, and you are both two of the longest hosts, I would think, that have been at WBAI. I mean, I know, Jay, you've been on there for almost 30 years.
Yes, and Jeannie has as well. I will say.
So, I mean, combined here, we're almost like 60 years of radio experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the nature of WBAI radio that we're probably still among the younger producers, to be honest.
Yes.
But we've certainly put our heart and soul into that institution for a very long time.
Well, that's what I want to get into that. And I mean, really, this is less about us and it's about, you know, what BAI, because I mean, as growing up in New York City, growing up in the Lower East Side, my aunts used to listen to BAI. They did not listen to WNYC. They weren't listening to NPR, but they were listening to BAI. As women of color, as particularly marginalized people in our community. So BAI, in my mind, had always been a pretty progressive space, at least from the outside looking in. And then this happens. And then there's this crazy tweet situation, Jay, that you got into that I think anybody who was watching media was like, what is going on? So what is going on, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Jeannie can speak to her perspective as well. But for me, you know, like I said, I've put my heart and soul into WBAI radio literally since I was a teenager. And I grew up in a WBAI family since the 1960s for exactly the reasons you said. You know, this was an outlet that gave a voice to so many communities in New York that wouldn't otherwise have an outlet. You know, we were committed to speaking truth to power, being a voice of the counterculture. And I felt so blessed and honored all these years to represent hip-hop in that context on WBAI. But as time went on, I think the station has become more and more a shadow of itself for a variety of reasons. And I think a lot of us have held on, trying to hold true to what the station was founded on under more and more dire circumstances. And this choice for me was a turning point where I felt like I just couldn't continue coming in and asking the listeners to give money to something that just goes against everything I've always believed this institution was about.
Jeannie, tell me about your experience at BAI, and you've also been there as long as Jay has, if not, I mean, almost 30 years, we're talking?
Yeah, actually, I started out as a volunteer, as a wee, you know, broadcast journalism student at Hunter College, and reporting on political situations in Central America and the Middle East as a student. So I was invited in, and I found it really exciting. And I kind of very early on, after observing the commercial media and what they have to contend with, you know, advertisers and investors, I said, you know, I want to hold true to the what I've learned of the values of journalism. And so I felt at home there. I really did. And it felt really family-like in the sense, almost a little utopia-like, because the isms were aside, other things were aside, you know, that kind of divide us and constantly. So it was really a wonderful place. And then, interestingly, I had come back from the Gaza Strip doing some work, and prior to leaving, as my solace, I would go dancing. I found a lot of underground parties in New York that were very community-like, almost like you're describing your family situation where, you know, you find that community party, that salsa party. I used to go to those in people's houses on the Lower East Side, actually.
People don't even know that era existed. Like, there's such, you're bringing back so many memories.
And I have to say, they still exist. Mm-hmm. And the arts director came with me to some of these events, and I said, you know what? These are the people that need to know about WBAI if they don't already. I said, it's amazing if we can connect them and this music as well as breaking underground music. I mean, that's what community, non-commercial radio has always done. And I came back and he said, you have a show. And I said, what? I said, I'm not a DJ. I'm not a... And he goes, no, but you're a journalist. You're a radio producer. You're a host. And so I just took it from there. And people literally... I brought poetry in. I was a big part of the New Yorker Poets cafe scene, a big part of University of the Streets, which unfortunately is no more. There was a really exciting time. I found the messages and the music really... not in the music yet. The messages from the poets, the griots of the street, really powerful. And so I brought that into the music, actually. And we would actually have, I would have poets and musicians performing seamlessly in the mix with the music for years until the poets actually produced their own music and put out albums. And that was really exciting to see that evolution. And ever since, I've always had this connection between bringing up political issues, especially in a grassroots sense in the community, many that actually face dancing. I mean, we just saw the repeal of the cabaret law in New York City. I have been covering that and pushing that and giving voice to that since Giuliani brought it back out of its grave to life. And so there's a lot of that people don't realize, politics and dancing too. So the station, though, has always been a home, always been inspiring. But as Jay, I'm just going to leave it to say, Jay just said it very eloquently. It's a shadow of itself, but we've hung on because we believe in it and we want it to shine again and become, you know, this new power for this new millennium. I mean, that's what I'm excited about. And I've worked in new technologies. I created the online radio station for PS1 Contemporary Arts Center in 2004 and ran it till 2015 as it became solo as clocktower.org. And I love radio. I just love it. But I love community radio. I love non-commercial radio. And it's an exciting time right now with podcasting. NYC and NPR is really leading the way in that. And that's what I was hoping to see for BAI. I'm waiting for that. It's like this, I don't know if Jay would agree with me, it's like this diamond in the, not even diamond in the rough. It's just like it needs its phoenix moment to rise again.
Is it going to have that moment? Given, I mean, you are both two of the most popular voices and longest lasting voices on the show, on the station, excuse me. Can it have a phoenix moment? I mean, both of you left. That's a pretty big deal. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about each of your decisions to leave.
I mean, I would make no claim to be one of the most popular, and you know, I certainly don't claim to be any sort of cash cow for the radio station, but I have stayed because I believed in being a part of this team, being a part of this community, and upholding the tradition we've had for so long of being an institution that helps to push society forward. And I think we've always had our share of dysfunction and factional strife. I mean, you know, I can't say it's ever truly been a utopia, but I think we've crossed a line at some point from dysfunction that comes from differing visions of how to move the world forward into a desperation to stay alive that makes us look for ways to protect the status quo and benefit from it. And I think that's a reckoning that all of media and all of public radio is in right now in terms of the treatment of women in the workplace. And I felt like at this point, my best shot at shaking something loose in this institution that makes us a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem was to step away and maybe hope that makes someone see the light.
Jeannie, your motivations for leaving WBAI, I'm curious.
You know, actually, Liquid Sound Lounge raised a lot of money for the station. I managed to find a balance and a connect where even though it's music, which oftentimes is not the shows that get the most support, it's more, you know, pushing people's buttons on political issues that do. And you can see it on my website, liquidsoundlounge.com. You can go back through the playlist and see each drive. It used to be seasonally, there was a membership drive that would last like 2 weeks. It turned into membership drives in the last 5 years with this current management deciding to do this pattern of 5 weeks of fundraising and then 5 weeks off, roughly, give or take a week or two. That's extreme. That changes the entire culture of the station itself. So for me, I've really seen an incredible dip in the financial give back by my listeners, by the BAI listeners. They're struggling. In the same sense, I'm out and about and I DJ and people are like, I love the show, I support the show, but I'm not seeing that add up. So I just feel like something's amiss, and I really believe it's that changing of the culture. Now, mind you, everyone refers back to the hurricane, Hurricane Sandy, and certainly we lost our location and our resources. People carried on, as did Jay and I, thanks to other stations inviting us in temporarily. And without going through all the details, you know, we hung in there. But there was a real blow that happened after the station was in the situation, raised, I think, almost $1 million to maybe it was a half million. You got to look at the figures. I know that's a huge difference. But they jumped in because they saw us in crisis. But then a couple months later, they laid off the majority of the staff without any fanfare. That hurt because several of those people were actual talents on air that had brought that money in too. And I don't want to necessarily make it about a money thing, but you know, when people get desperate, what I'm seeing is I'm seeing really compromising the integrity of the mission of the station in this desperation. And the management does not, in my own heart, I have to say, has the knowledge or the ability to change the current situation that they've been a part of creating in the last 5 years. I won't say solely creating, but where they stepped in till now, there isn't growth, there isn't vision, there isn't talk about that. There's rival factions that are happening and have been happening in the board. The tipping point for me was this very hire, the fact that I would have to raise money to pay for an outside producer to come on 5 days a week, albeit an established producer, albeit a producer that's coming with some baggage. It doesn't bode well with me. I cannot go to the microphone and raise funds, and we're just in the start of the summer membership drive.
How much does, we started the show sort of talking about Leonard Lopate, former WNYC host, who left after these allegations. And I want to talk a little bit about, I'm going to read you some of the reporting around from WNYC on this incident. One woman, and this is from our own reporting, said, quote, she was sexually harassed on the show. In one instance in 2009, she said Lopate told her, quote, I didn't know you were so bosomy, after he saw her wearing a dress. This producer said that Lopate essentially made everyone cry at some point. And these are just some of the many allegations that we've reported on here. How much was his coming into WBAI the tipping point for either of you to really leave? Like, you're mentioning the financial element of this is huge, but BAI is also saying, well, Lopate is going to, for better or worse, in some ways, going to bring us more listeners, right? Whether it's salacious listening, fantastical listening, or whatever it is. Was that, I think for you, Jay, that was like the tipping point or the moment? And I'm not sure if it was for you as well, Jeannie.
I want to jump in quick before Jay. I have to say, I teach young ladies that are tweens, social justice-centered podcast workshop, WGRL. I've been up here bringing those young ladies through these very studios on tours and exciting them about those possibilities if they so choose to take that path in the future. And I can't. For the next generation, I can't do it. I am a female in broadcasting. I have faced the same imbalances, glass ceilings, you know, as a female DJ in the club world. And The other thing too is, it absolutely is the tipping point. Absolutely, 100%. And I just, for the next generations, I think I've got to make a stand. And the show was never called the Jeannie Hopper Show. It was about Liquid Sound Lounge, about people coming together, about people taking a mental vacation, about enjoyment, about finding that center, realigning our chakras. And I don't feel so aligned there anymore when I say all that, and the core of what the show is for me and so many, that I feel honored to be inviting me into their personal space, which is the beauty of radio. Mm-hmm. It's a really intimate experience. And I do not personally know Leonard Lopate. I do know that he had been on WBAI in the past, as many producers have now that are in broadcasting. Many have come up through WBAI. It absolutely was the tipping point on many levels, especially one of the, I would hope would be the obvious, is that I am a female broadcaster. And I cannot compromise saying, oh, well, you know, it wasn't as extreme as other hosts that were removed from WNYC, or it wasn't. But that to me is a very uncomfortable statement. If anyone said that to me, I would be, I mean, that's uncompromising, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything Jeannie says it so powerfully. I don't think WBAI has ever been perfect in living up to the ideals it was founded on. I wouldn't claim that my show has ever perfectly represented those ideals. I mean, I did my show for 27 years. For a good deal of that time, we were a room full of men playing a playlist full of male voices. And I've gone through a learning process of growing up on the air and seeing that I have to actively try to be a part of the solution and try to change the status quo, or else the status quo will perpetuate itself. I can't just assume that I am fair and good, and therefore the community I build around me will be inclusive. I have to be aware of the inequities that exist and be mindful and proactive in trying to shift that and get different voices in. And that's something I've had to learn. That's something I think WBAI has done imperfectly, but I have at least been able to believe we wanted to aspire to those ideals, mm-hmm. and we wanted to learn and do better. This, to me, is a turning point where we are no longer even prioritizing those ideals of representing something, trying to make the world better. We have reached a point, whether through cravenness, desperation, lack of vision and leadership, we are just transparently, explicitly prioritizing profit over principles. And that's something I cannot come in here and volunteer my services to represent.
And that's a really bold statement on a lot of levels right now. We know, as we're three journalists sitting in here, mm-hmm. we're now three people who have been working in radio. I mean, this business is not one that is known for paying, at least in certain areas. So, you know, one of the things that I wonder about this is, and we're seeing this more and more with a lot of the men who were caught up in the Me Too movement more generally, these comebacks. There's lots of talk about lots of comebacks, right? The comeback tour for Charlie Rose, for example. There was talk about, you know, Matt Lauer, and sort of, you know, there's always talk about, will Harvey Weinstein ever resuscitate? I'm just not sure how to grapple with this. And it does seem that BAI has been, I mean, it looked really personal in terms of how they were getting into it, especially with you, Jay, on social media. It was just like, you know, we're standing behind this guy. He's going to bring us more listeners, and too bad. And I just was like, wow, where does that come from?
They had some very strange interactions with me on Twitter, which I don't even want to dwell on too much,
okay.
because this is not about me.
That's
at the
fair.
End of the day. I would invite people to look at those Twitter exchanges and see for themselves the caliber of leadership we've been dealing with, frankly.
I mean, frankly, it was stunning. Like, I've never seen that type of exchange. I can't say it's never happened. We know Twitter has now jumped the shark in many ways with our current administration. So, but the fact that that was an employer-employee, fairly uncomfortable conversation.
It was. And I mean, disrespectful to me and to all of us as staff, but even more than that, they're revealing their stance on the issue of women in their workplace being safe. You know, this cavalier, snarky, petty response is their response to that issue, much more than it's an insult to me. So that was what really crystallized my decision to leave more than anything, is this is how little they care about this issue as a whole.
Now, both of you have huge fan bases, whether you want to admit it or not, you do, particularly here in the city, in New York. We mentioned podcasting earlier, you know, this type of needing a studio with all these bells and whistles that we're sitting in and all that, it's not necessary anymore. So are New Yorkers going to lose you guys, or are you going to be around for them in some capacity, some way, shape, or form?
You know, I'm marinating on all of that, and the responses that I've received of great support from fans is definitely the wind under my wings at this point. And being somebody that is deep in new technologies and already creating platforms for various institutions, as I mentioned, absolutely. I do see that. Although I'm in this impasse of, do I partner with others? Because I don't want to. I like being a part of a community. I don't want to be solo. I know I am a part of a big community, as I always describe myself as an ambassador to the scene. But yeah, I've got some things in the works. It's just trying to figure out how to and when to. Whereas, you know, Jay already has this incredible platform, which was formulated outside of the station, Ill Doctrine. And he's always been somebody that actually has helped me in moving forward. When I remember when we were like, wow, the internet.
So I
hey,
remember.
Jay, can you help me? How would I put up my, what do I do? An MP3 file.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Which
and
took
you
like
actually,
days to download at the time. Right? Like, it was like, yeah, go eat a snack. And
so it is that time, except as we've seen recently, as podcasting's become so exciting, even though I started podcasting in 2004.
Oh my God, me too. That's so weird. Oh my God, yes.
But what I find is really exciting is people have found a love for audio art and exploring it and pushing it. And that's what I was hoping for BAI. I'm hoping for that renaissance and for them to tap into the new talent that's out there. There's so much incredible talent out there to be uplifted. And let's face it, broadcasting, I will always, number one, be about live broadcasting. There's nothing like it. It's so exciting. It's a performance. It's a connectivity. It's this incredible energy. So I'm trying to find that space. There's some stations around here in the city, if you're listening. You know, reach out. We got ideas. You know, a lot of experience and a lot of followers. So I do hope to be in another space to be able to uplift.
Jay, what about you?
I certainly hope to keep on doing my work in other venues, but I'm not that focused on it at the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gotten to have a nice long run on the radio, and I have the luxury of looking forward to new opportunities with an assumption that I will go somewhere that I feel safe in that space. And there are a lot of women working in these spaces. There are a lot of young women thinking about getting into these spaces who do not have that luxury. And I still believe that WBAI can model an approach to trying to change that status quo rather than making excuses to perpetuate that status quo. I still believe WBAI can be a part of the solution and show public radio how to be a part of the solution. I mean, I think where we're sitting right now, that reckoning is still ongoing. WBAI and Pacifica Radio can start their own form of that reckoning and be true to its character, to its heart and soul that I believe is still there. So my hope right now is that we can exert whatever pressure we can to shake loose that heart of WBAI and get it beating again.
I'm sure New Yorkers will be paying very, very close attention to what happens to you both. Jay, Jeannie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.